Hi, Joe. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Can you start by telling us how you went about getting your first professional job after graduation?
I got my degree from Southern Methodist. One of my professors actually helped set it up. He knew that there weren't a lot of American Indians involved in archaeology. He had a friend who was working for the National Park Service, kind of threw us together at a dinner. We talked. The person who was with the Park Service, it was sort of an informal interview, talking about what I thought was important with heritage, cultural resource management, with working with people.
Mm-hmm.
Then after about an hour or two, we had a sort of understood where each of us were coming from. We had another short interview, and then I was offered a position in Atlanta in 1978, so right after my master's degree.
Mm-hmm. After the master's, okay. And what kind of work were you doing then?
I was actually dealing with contract management. The Interagency Archaeological Services in Atlanta took money from various government agencies, and we did the archaeology for them.
Mm-hmm.
We contracted with people who would do the program. We reviewed proposals. We managed funds. We made certain that whenever the contract was finished, that reports were done and everything. So did that for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
They were getting ready to go through reorganization, and I didn't want to move to Minnesota, so that was the end of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So looking back, what were the key factors that helped you transition from school into a job?
A couple. I think the main thing, and something that we talk about consistently today, was the network.
Mm-hmm.
Having people that had connections, who knew someone who had a job that was open.
Right.
And able to, if not put in a good word for me, but at least be able to say, you know, this is happening here. If you're interested, why don't you try to get with this person and discuss it? So, one, it was that having connections and having networks. And the second part was being able to step outside of my real comfort zone.
Mm.
You know, I'd done a lot of academic, I had read a lot of archaeology, I had analyzed things, but I really didn't have any true experience in administering archaeology or doing archaeology.
Okay.
I'd done some field work and someone else had told me what to do. So it was stepping outside that comfort zone and actually not being afraid to learn something I was not really aware of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you find then that your training in your program prepared you? Let me back up before I ask that question. You mentioned doing sort of management. So right. Were you working in the field as well as managing a project, or was it almost all managing other?
It was probably 95% managing archaeology.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would get in the field whenever I had to see how the contractors were doing, and I got a chance to do a little bit of dirt archaeology, but primarily it was just working with the laws and the legal system to be certain that the people who were doing the archaeology were following guidelines and protocols and regulations and such.
Mm-hmm.
So it was getting the job done rather than actually doing the job.
Right, right, okay. And then let's revisit other questions. Do you find that your grad school prepared you for that particular role?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. I think the grad school prepared me to be an academic professor, an archaeologist. It prepared me how to learn. It prepared me how poorly to teach, to lecture, to figure out what it was important about what it was I was reading, how to critically evaluate what other people were saying. But it did not prepare me for management. It did not prepare me for grant administration. It did not prepare me to liaise between the federal agencies, federal requirements, and the people who were doing the on-the-job archaeology.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to communicate with the contractors on an academic basis because I had that background, that
mm-hmm.
similar background. Mm-hmm. But then it became a little more problematic when I had to tell them, well, this proposal is great, however, your budget stinks.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting in for 15 weeks of field work, but you only have a week for processing. We know
mm-hmm.
that's not
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
So it was trying to figure out how to administer, how to manage, and how to be occasionally be the bad guy and say,
mm-hmm.
you did this
mm-hmm.
wrong,
mm-hmm.
let's revisit it.
Mm-hmm. And coming into that job, was it, did it turn out to be what you thought it was going to be? Or was there a lot of, let's say, on the job refocusing mentally? What was the basic sort of thing?
Kind of hard to say. I don't mm-hmm. think I really went into the job knowing what I was going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I had sort of an understanding. Cultural resource management was still in its infancy,
mm-hmm.
infancy
mm-hmm.
in 1978 and 79,
mm-hmm.
especially government agencies did not have a lot of archaeologists.
Mm-hmm.
The Park Service did, and there were a few, but mostly what we did is we did the work for Fish and Wildlife, who didn't have any archaeologists. We did the work for Bureau of Land Management in some areas. So that whole government-sponsored archaeology was brand new. So I think when I got in there, there was a great deal of on-the-job training. There was a lot of mentoring with people who had been there for 5 years, 10 years,
mm-hmm.
who said, okay, this is what you need to do to get out a call for contractors. This is what you need to do when you're looking at proposals. This is how to evaluate what people are saying and what they're not saying.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it was a great deal of working with people in the office and knowing that if I had questions, I could go to someone and say, this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do either to prevent it from happening or what do I need to do to make it happen in this different direction?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Looking back, would you do anything differently relative to that first job?
The only thing I think I probably would do differently would be to maybe go on and go to Minnesota and move forward in that position.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of the people that I worked with there in Atlanta or across the United States who in one of the other two or three offices went on to have some pretty good impact in cultural resource management or Park Service archaeology. Mark Lina, Jeff Richner, Chuck Niket, a lot of people got involved in that early time period. And then I wouldn't change where I am now because I'm moving from that point into what else I did, I think it really gave me a better overall perspective on archaeology in its many different forms.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think I probably would have been well suited to have taken a year or two in Minnesota in a different region and
mm-hmm.
maybe experienced
mm-hmm.
a different
mm-hmm.
type of archaeology.
Interesting. Okay. Our last question is, would you have any tips, either thinking back from when you were there or with the knowledge you've accumulated now, any tips or advice for students who are just getting ready to come out of grad school?
I think probably the two biggest pieces of advice would be to do an internship. Whether it's paid or unpaid, you have a higher possibility of getting a job. Also, an internship will let you know truly if that's what you want to do for the
mm-hmm.
rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you get an internship with a government agency and then you realize you're not one who wants to do contract administration, it's
mm-hmm.
better to know it
mm-hmm.
as a very young undergraduate or young graduate student than it is to go through your 10 years of graduate school and shoot for a job and get there and then find out, oh, it's the worst thing that could happen to me.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And then the second thing, again, is the thing that we tell students constantly is develop and enhance your network.
Mm-hmm,
work with people, go to meetings. If you find someone that you like their work, go up and talk to them.
Mm-hmm,
it's quite often your professors that are teaching you know a lot of people who can help you move forward, move out, expand your network, and don't be afraid to do things.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes scary, sometimes it's uncertain of what your footing will be, but you know, it's, you have to try in order really to succeed. And sometimes we'll fail two or three times, but success is a matter of learning from those failures.
Right. Great. That's great advice. Thanks for being with us, Joe.
You bet. Thank you.